The Breakthrough Edge. I'm Dr. Raquel, and Now Media Television. Welcome to Be The Breakthrough Edge. I'm Dr. Raquel Yarrell. Today, we're talking about something deeply personal for so many women, yet often suffer through in silence. Infertility, painful cycles, hormone struggles, and the emotional weight women carry when their body is not responding the way they hoped it would. For many women, infertility is not just physical. It becomes emotional, mental, relational, and deeply tied to identity, stress, grief, and hope. Joining me today is Alyssa Chavez, founder and CEO of Aligned to Rise. Alyssa's story is incredibly powerful because after years of struggling with infertility and feeling emotionally exhausted and defeated, she experienced a major emotional breakthrough that shifted not only her mindset and her nervous system, but her body. After beginning to release the emotional patterns and stress she had been carrying, Alyssa became pregnant just weeks later. Today, she helps women understand the connection between emotional healing, nervous system regulation, fertility, and restoring trust in their body. And now she's experiencing motherhood herself with her new beautiful baby girl. Alyssa, welcome to Be The Breakthrough Edge.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here today. I'm excited to be here and chat with you.
I'm super excited too. So Alyssa, can you take us back to your infertility journey and what that season of life was like emotionally?
Yeah, absolutely. So my fertility journey first started back in 2017, which is when I got married. My husband and I got married and just wanted to have kids right away and started trying and just things weren't working out. And so all of a sudden these months started to turn into years and we started to worry. And so back in 2020, we decided to go ahead and do IVF and went through the whole process, the whole journey, and did end up having a successful pregnancy very briefly. And then unfortunately ended up having a miscarriage. And for me, that was just my kind of rock bottom moment of just feeling devastated and all the grief that comes along with that. I'm sure anyone out there who's experienced that knows exactly what I'm talking about. And years went by even after that until I finally got pregnant naturally in 2025 after having so many years of things not working out. We ended up having this absolute miracle pregnancy that came about. And I know we're going to talk about the journey of how all of that happened, but that's kind of the short and sweet version of my journey and how I got to where I am today.
I love it because you give hope to so many millions of people who are struggling with this, and you're living proof that you can actually truly get pregnant naturally, even if it took you 9 years. So what were some of the struggles you were experiencing physically with your cycles and fertility?
Yeah. So when I first came off birth control, when I was ready to start trying to conceive, I started very quickly to have a lot of symptoms surrounding my cycle, especially, but just a lot of symptoms in general. So my periods became really intensely painful. I'm talking to the point where I couldn't really stand up straight. I couldn't walk. I couldn't move. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't really do anything. I mean, it was really a completely debilitating pain. And on top of that, I was having irregular cycles. I was having a lot of bloating and digestive issues and breakouts on my skin. It just felt like everything kind of came crashing down. And then on top of that, wasn't able to get pregnant. So it was kind of just
everything happening all at once. So how did infertility begin affecting your mindset, your identity, your relationships, and even your emotional health?
Oh gosh, how didn't it affect all that?
Right.
It's one of those things when your biggest dream is to have a baby and be a mom, and you know, that's a huge struggle and just things aren't working out. It really does start to bleed into and affect every area of life because it took up so much of my energy and focus. I felt like I would have a hard time just finding a place of joy and feeling happy about life because, you know, I'd, this one thing that I wanted more than anything wasn't working out. And, you know, of course, it started to impact my relationship with my husband because, you know, he felt like he was just walking on eggshells all the time because I would just at the drop of a hat just start crying and be upset and, you know, so many little struggles along the way.
So what did you actually start kind of doing to start shifting and turning this around? Like, what were some of the first things that you started doing? Because I know you worked at healing your own self.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a lot along the way for sure. But where I first started was really working on my physical health because I was having a lot of these physical symptoms, the pain, the, you know, crazy cycle symptoms, the digestive symptoms, all these things that were coming up. So the first thing that I did was work on my internal health. You know, I realized that everything that I was doing just wasn't really helping. And so I started doing things like making major changes to my diet and lifestyle and just shifting things in a way to really help bring my body back into balance internally. And it made a huge difference. I mean, even just making the changes that I did, and that was over the course of several years as I was learning about my own body and studying functional nutrition along the way. I saw some major shifts through doing that to the point where I went from having those debilitating periods to later on being able to have completely pain-free periods, which I didn't think would be possible for me.
Oh, that is huge.
So I saw a lot of major shifts there. Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How long did it take for you to like put that connection together to have the less painful periods? And was there any emotional connection, anything that kind of went along with that? Or, you know, tell us a little bit more, because I know there's so many people out there that struggle with this and they just want to, they're this, like, tell me more.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, the process really was a process of several years. And a big part of that was just, there was a huge learning curve along the way, which, you know, now as I work with clients, I'm able to fast track that a lot because I kind of know a lot better what works and what doesn't work and all of that. But for me, it was a process of several years, you know, kind of slowly getting better over time. And I do think that there was a huge mindset shift along with that that really helped me as well. Because I remember there was a time, let's see, my little nephew is now just about 3 years old. But I remember when my sister got pregnant with him and I, you know, found out, my sister's pregnant. And that was really hard when I was in the midst of my fertility journey. I decided at that point in time, like, if I want to be able to enjoy my nephew, I'm going to have to make some changes in my mindset here. And so that was kind of the catalyst to me starting to just work on myself and wanting to, you know, kind of change some of my internal habits and patterns and just thought patterns that were keeping me stuck in that state of just sadness and grief and all the things. Because, you know, I kind of came to a place of just, you know what, I know I'm really struggling with this fertility journey. I still want to be a mom, but I'd made this decision of just, I want to be happy and enjoy my life anyway. You know, I want, like, whatever happens, whether I end up being a mom or I don't, I want to be happy and enjoy my life. And I want to enjoy the little ones in my life, my little nieces and nephews and, you know, kids that my friends have and everything. So that was kind of the shift for me, that just that decision I made of, you know what, I want to find that joy no matter what. And I do think that just that decision actually helped me feel better physically too, because I was lifting off some of that emotional weight that was just kind of constantly pushing me down. And, you know, that has to impact the way that you feel too. So,
right.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of all of it, the physical work, the mental, emotional, it's all very much connected.
Yeah. I mean, I totally hear that story. I mean, I even dealt with some infertility. I never got to the point where I got to have another baby, but I did deal with infertility. And I understand that silent struggle that you have, it's like you carry it silently. And it's like, you don't tell the world that you're silently like crying inside, because every month comes by. And once again, you're not pregnant. It's very devastating and heartbreaking. And then when you see other ones having little ones, you're just like, why can't I have that? So again, it's like we have to shift that mindset because we came from that mindset of lack of not having. So why do you think so many women silently carry the shame, pressure, or grief around infertility?
That's such a great question. And I feel like there's really multiple reasons behind it, because I think part of it is kind of a sense of shame or guilt, or, you know, just embarrassment on the side of the woman herself. Like, I know I experienced that, of just, you know, kind of not wanting to really share this with people because it was hard for me to talk about. And I don't know, I just felt kind of, in a way, ashamed that, like, hey, my body can't do this most basic function that the female body should be able to do. And right. So I didn't share my journey for many years. Yeah, I think part of it too is, I know this is a challenge that I've run into that I'm sure many other women did as well along the way, of just sometimes when people do know about your fertility journey, they have an awareness of it, it can feel, a lot of people just don't know what to say or how to behave around you. And
right?
I feel like that kind of creates some social challenges too. If other people don't know how to navigate your fertility journey, and, you know, well, she probably doesn't want to hang out around my kid because she can't have kids. And I think a lot of people just really struggle with that. So that causes the woman who's in the midst of that, like myself, to just, you know, not talk about it and kind of keep it all internal and keep it all in this little box. And that can make it harder because you're not releasing any of the emotions that you're experiencing. Yeah.
So infertility is not just a physical experience for many women. It becomes emotional survival mode, carrying stress, disappointment, grief, and pressure while still trying to hold on to hope. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about the emotional breakthrough that changed Alyssa's life and the connection between emotional healing, nervous system regulation, and fertility. We'll be right back with more insights to help you break through barriers and move forward with confidence. And we're back. I'm Dr. Raquel, and this is Be the Breakthrough Edge on Now Media Television. Let's continue. Stay connected to Be the Breakthrough Edge and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move? Catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. I'm here with Alyssa Chavez, founder and CEO of Align to Rise. And we're talking about something many women are never taught: how emotional stress, unresolved trauma, nervous system dysregulation, and chronic pressure can impact the body, hormone cycles, and fertility journey. Alyssa's story took a major turn when she stopped focusing only on fixing her body and began addressing the emotional patterns, stress, and nervous system overload she had been carrying internally. This segment is about helping women understand that the body often responds differently when it begins feeling emotionally safe, supported, and regulated, and no longer trapped in survival mode. So, Alyssa, what emotional patterns or internal stressors did you realize your body had been holding on to?
Oh, gosh. So many things. I mean, I think the biggest stress going on was just that constant worry of, oh my gosh, is this ever going to work? Am I ever going to be a mom? And then there's the emotional train that goes along with that, which is a lot of, I would say the major ones are sadness, anger. There's definitely some guilt in there, especially because, you know, I was the one, you know, it was my body that was really struggling with fertility, whereas my husband was perfectly healthy and fine. So there was that guilt of being the one, the reason that we couldn't have kids. So many things. There's fear of just, is this ever going to work out? Is this ever going to be successful? You know, is there just something fundamentally wrong with me where I'm just never going to be able to conceive? I mean, They're just such a blend of emotions that would kind of come and go and circle around each other. And I would say those are probably the biggest emotional challenges that I ran into.
Well, those are huge because those are some of the biggest emotions that can really trap your body in a state of a vicious cycle of not being able to create the life you want. So what did your personal breakthrough process look like emotionally? So here's the thing. You and I, we did a lot of breakthroughs together in June, and I saw what you were like before you came into that container, and I saw your transformation, and then also got to hear that you were pregnant only a few weeks later. And even in that journey, we didn't even know that you had been struggling so hard. It was like we kind of found out afterwards when you broke the insane news that you were pregnant. And we were like, oh my God, this is amazing. And also on our car ride, that is when you decided to completely shift your business and your career too. Remember on your, you were naming your business and we were having like a powwow in the car naming your business. Well, people need to hear this because this was like a huge breakthrough during this time. That week was transformed your life. So please tell us what this that week did to you. What was that emotional breakthrough like for you? I want to hear all your, I want to hear it all.
Yeah, absolutely. So, gosh, I mean, so much happened that week, but the biggest thing for me, I think, was we did a lot of work on releasing those negative emotions and working through all of that. And through that process, a big part of what we do, which is, you know, kind of digging back into where are these negative emotions coming from in the first place. And so that can be exploring things that have happened previously in your life, even back to childhood or before. I mean, we're digging into past lives and generational things and all everything. And so I remember the biggest one for me that I feel like really shifted things for me and was something I would have never even thought of as being an issue was when we were going through the emotions, when we came to the emotion of sadness, I was exploring where that emotion came from. And what came to me was actually a generational thing that was coming up because my mom was adopted. And we never knew anything about her birth mom. We've never really learned anything about her. But I, in that moment, had this kind of this connection with my mom's birth mom, so my biological grandmother, and just her deep sadness that she was feeling in having to give up her baby. And, you know, I was able to kind of release that and let that go. And something in that process, it really freed up something for myself of just being able to let go of this sadness that I was carrying, which was so fascinating and so powerful for me. And it just, it really stayed with me. And lo and behold, you know, just there was that, and of course, releasing some of the other emotions as well, that guilt and anger and some of these other things that had been coming up. That was just the one that was probably most powerful for me. And yeah, about a week after that process, I ended up conceiving my daughter.
I just have goosebumps nonstop. I'm just sitting here like my arms are just going out. Look, you can't see them, but I've got goosebumps all over because I'm just like, this is so amazing. I mean, just life, just so amazing. I just love hearing your story. It's just been such an inspiration to so many people. So what started after you kind of went through this breakthrough and you're going through this breakthrough and you didn't know you were pregnant, but what also started changing in your body, your mindset, your energy? Were you saying any mantras? What were you doing? Tell us more about, like, you know, what was going on in your brain even after you released these emotions and where you had to go and how you had to become new in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It is kind of this reinvention of yourself as you're going through this process because you're releasing so many layers of just old habits and patterns that you're holding on to that kind of weigh you down. And so then as you're releasing that, it is kind of this feeling of reinvention. And I know one of the thoughts that I held onto for years and years and years as I was going through this fertility journey and, you know, with all the things with my painful cycles and everything, I had this constant thought in my head that I just would tell myself, well, I'm just broken. I don't work right. You know, I'm not able to conceive and my cycles are all weird and painful. And just basically all of the things that the female body should do fairly easily and naturally, my body wasn't doing. And so I just had this constant thought of just, I'm broken. I don't work right. And so that was one of the things that I really worked on flipping in my mind that made a huge difference for me emotionally as well, was just realizing and making that decision of, I'm not broken. And that was kind of a mantra that I would repeat over and over, and just would start to keep that fresh in my mind rather than the old thought patterns that I used to have. And so that became kind of my guiding light, was just, I'm not broken. And that helped me to kind of put the piece back together and allow for that healing process and everything, which was super powerful for me.
That's huge. That is so, so huge. And I know you were also, because I know when we were in our car ride and you were talking about you're going to do Align to Rise, and you had all this, because you had a whole different brand, you had the podcast. And when you went through this shift, you decided you had to be aligned to rise. Can you tell us a little bit more about, like, what was that energy, that feeling, that was what you were carrying? Because that was also a part of your new identity. You were completely shifting everything. So tell us a little bit more about Align to Rise.
Yeah, absolutely. So previously my business name was Endobelly Girl, and the thinking behind that was I was focused primarily around helping women with endometriosis, which I actually still do a lot of. I would still say that's kind of a primary focus of my business. I help women with endometriosis and infertility, things like that. But it was kind of geared around that, those symptoms around endometriosis. And while I still do that type of work, I think that the big shift that I had was realizing that we're so much more than our symptoms. You know, I didn't want to be so focused on the disease state and on the symptoms that come with that. I wanted to be more focused on the thought and idea that we can rise into our true potential in life, rise into who we really want to be, rise into that state of healing. And so that's really where that name came from. And I know you were right there for that conversation. We were on our way to the airport in the car, and I was like, I need to rename my business and let's work on this. And yeah, for me, it was just that kind of that picture of, okay, we're bringing the body and mind and spirit and everything back into alignment so that we can now rise into, you know, the strong, powerful women that are in there just waiting to come out and show up in the world. So that's where that came from.
Yeah, I absolutely love that, because like one thing that I have been learning a lot with when it comes to manifesting and manifesting the life and what you want, you have to think about, what do you want to feel? And when you talk about you're going to rise, instead of focusing on the condition and the issue, we're going to focus on, what do you want to feel? Where do you want to go with this? Like, what is that true feeling? And can you tell us a little bit more, like, what was that feeling, how you shifted? What was that feeling? I know you weren't broken, but did you have a certain feeling that you were feeling afterwards? Was it like a lighterness, a freeingness? Like, what were you feeling? Like, where were you heading? What was your rise?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And again, I think there were multiple factors at play. There are multiple emotions at play. Definitely was feeling lighter and freer. And, you know, they call it emotional weight for a reason, because it does really weigh you down. And so when you are able to kind of release that and let that go, there's such a lightness and freeness that comes with that. And then that allows some of these more positive emotions to come in. I was feeling more joy and hope and inspiration and just really looking forward to the future, and just feeling, I think hopeful is the main word that comes to me, and just, you know, knowing, this internal knowing that everything is working out in some way or another, like that I'm headed exactly where I need to be. I'm exactly where I need to be in my life. And that gives you just so much peace of mind, instead of constantly reaching for the next thing and, you know, trying to be somewhere that you're not and stressing that you're not there. And, you know, for me, it was kind of that shift of just, I'm going to just enjoy where I am right now and just sit in this freedom that I'm experiencing now.
Yeah, it's about enjoying the journey, right? I mean, even if it is a little bit of a heartbreak, but then realizing that there is so many good things that come out of it. So really quick, 2 weeks later, you became pregnant. What was that moment like emotionally for you?
It's hard to even describe. Like I just got chills again myself thinking back on that. I was actually just talking to a family member about this experience yesterday because it was just, it really felt almost surreal. I mean, it was right after the 4th of July last year. My period was late and, you know, I had had some weird symptoms coming up that weren't normal for me. And, you know, there was this little voice in the back of my mind saying, well, maybe I'm pregnant. But then there was also a part of me that was kind of like, yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. But I thought, you know what, I'm just going to take a test and see, like, let's just find out. And so I went and got myself a pregnancy test, and lo and behold, it turned up with these two little pink lines. And I'm even looking back at the box, like, what do the two lines mean? How does this work? I should have gotten one of those ones that just says pregnant or not pregnant, because now I'm like trying to translate these results and not really believing it. And I think I was just in a state of shock, to be honest. I remember just sitting down on my couch because I'd done the test like first thing in the morning. My husband was still asleep. So it was just kind of me, myself, and I for the first hour or so of knowing that I was pregnant. And I remember just sitting on the couch, kind of just
in a daze,
staring
or
down at this test, and yeah, just in shock of just, oh my gosh, this is happening.
That is so so amazing. So sometimes the breakthrough does not come from forcing harder. Sometimes it begins when the body finally feels safe enough to let go, heal, and receive. We'll pause here briefly after the break. We'll talk about how Alyssa now helps other women who are struggling with infertility, painful cycles, and emotional overwhelm, and hope again. We'll be right back with more insights to help you break through barriers and move forward with confidence. And we're back. I'm Dr. Raquel, and this is Be the Breakthrough Edge on Now Media Television. Let's continue. Welcome back to Be the Breakthrough Edge. I'm continuing my conversation with Alyssa Chavez about emotional healing, fertility, painful cycles, and the connection between nervous system health and the body's ability to heal. What makes Alyssa's story so impactful is that she now uses her own experience to help other women who feel discouraged, disconnected from their bodies, or exhausted from trying to fix themselves without understanding the emotional and nervous system components that may also be involved. This conversation is about restoring trust in the body, reducing stress and overwhelm, and helping women feel empowered rather than broken throughout their fertility journey. If you're watching right now and you've been feeling discouraged, defeated, or disconnected from your body, I hope this conversation reminds you that your body is not your enemy. Sometimes the breakthrough begins when we stop fighting ourselves and start listening differently to what the body has been carrying. Alyssa, how are you now helping women who struggle with fertility or painful cycles?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, I've really taken all of my personal experience as well as all of my education and training, and I use that to help women who are struggling with the same things that I had been struggling with, because there are so many women out there who are experiencing all of this. And so what I really do now is I blend a little bit of all of the things that I've worked on along the way. So we do, when I work with clients, we do work on the physical health. You know, we do work on nutrition and lifestyle and all the things, because that was really the foundation initially of the work that I do. I'm still very much in love with the functional nutrition side of things, but I take that and I blend it along with working on your mindset and your emotional health. You know, we have a lot of conversations in my client sessions about all of that, of just, you know, what are you experiencing right now? What are you feeling? And, you know, just kind of even making just small mindset shifts at first can be really helpful. And over time, you know, we can get to a place of bringing all of it back into alignment, like we talked about, you know, the physical, mental, emotional, all of the pieces. And I feel like that's really the pathway that allows women to heal the most, is when we're working from all sides at once, rather than just focusing on one piece of the puzzle. So I found that to be really, really powerful in the work that I do.
Well, we are kind of a whole being, not just one little thing, right? I mean, you know, so we do have to look at everything. So what are some common emotional themes you see in women dealing with fertility challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I would say a lot of the same emotions that I had been experiencing. You know, it's that sadness that you're, you know, really wanting this one thing in your life and it's not happening. There's a sense of, you know, anger slash frustration of, you know, why isn't this working? And, you know, how is it possible that I'm doing all these things to care for myself and am still not able to conceive, whereas my friend over here is just, you know, doing whatever, eating McDonald's every day and not really taking care of herself and got pregnant, no problem, you know, by accident.
Right? Yeah, that's so,
so there's that emotional side of it. And yeah. Then, you know, there is that fear of, you know, will this ever work out? Fear of, you know, especially when you have a condition like endometriosis, is this going to get worse? Is this going to take over my life? You know, what is this going to look like in the future? And then there can be that guilt as well of just, you know, being the reason in your relationship that you're not able to start a family like I had been, or guilt of, you know, oh, my parents really want to have a grandbaby and they don't have one. And
yeah, that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself.
All of those things can come up.
Yeah. So why is it important for women to stop feeling broken during this journey?
Well, I think it really just is the first step towards healing, right? Because if you're feeling like you're broken and you're just a thing that can't be fixed, it's really hard to get to a place of healing. And that's why I think it's an excellent first step is just realizing that, like, okay, I'm not broken. I'm a whole person just as I am now. And one step at a time, I can slowly, you know, heal from all the sides. It allows space for that healing.
Well, that's totally huge. I mean, you got to give yourself space, allow your body to heal and allow it to have its journey and support your body, because sometimes it's screaming just, I want support, right? Yeah. You got to feel that safety, right? So how do stress, emotional overload, and nervous system dysregulation affect hormones and cycles?
That really has huge impacts on all of that, because, you know, especially when it comes to fertility, kind of what you said, that one of the big things for your body is your body has to feel safe enough to conceive a child and go through that process of reproduction. Because if your body senses that it's under distress, there's something going on, your body kicks into this survival mode where it's really going to prioritize just keeping you alive. And reproduction is like very low on the list at that point in time, because your body's thinking, well, gosh, we need to, you know, just make sure that my person stays alive. You know, we don't need to bring another human into this mix. And so when you're able to get to a place of feeling safe again, that can allow that nervous system to calm down, which can allow space for the, you know, hormones and reproductive system to kick back into gear and be able to function well again.
So how do you feel like the stress was affecting you personally? Like what were you going through? Because you had a dance studio and all this other stuff going on in your life. So talk to us like a little bit about how you were under so much emotional stress and overload, and what was happening with you so that we can find out more, like, because people are going to connect those dots. And sometimes sometimes they're not under stress because it just becomes normal. So they have no idea that they're actually under stress. So can you kind of walk us through some of that?
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely in that boat. Like this is just life, you know, and everybody tells you that just being an adult is stressful. But yeah, I do feel like I was stuck in that sense of survival mode in many different ways. You know, when it came to running that business that I owned at that point in time, I'm no longer a part of that business at this point, but you know, it really bleeds into, again, everything in life, because it's almost like when you're in this stressed emotional state, it's like every piece of life folds into that, where it's just, you know, your relationships become stressful and your work life becomes stressful, and it seems like just everything is impacted, and it can be hard to kind of step out of that. And I would say it almost becomes kind of like a numbing tool to try to keep yourself busy. And I do feel like I did a lot of that, where it was just, I'm just going to keep working.
Well, Alyssa, you kind of paused there for a second. So we are going to kind of just reconnect with the studio. Healing fertility is not always only about doing more. Sometimes it is about creating safety, reducing stress, reconnecting emotionally, and learning to trust the body again. More ahead after the break. When we return, we'll close with Alyssa's journey into motherhood and what life feels like now on the other side of her breakthrough. We'll be right back with more insights to help you break through barriers and move forward with confidence. And we're back. I'm Dr. Raquel, and this is Be the Breakthrough Edge on Now Media Television. Let's continue. Stay connected to Be the Breakthrough Edge and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move? Catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. I'm back with Alyssa Chavez, founder and CEO of Align to Rise. And as we close today's conversation, I want to focus on what life looks like on the other side of breakthrough. After struggling with infertility, emotional exhaustion, and the fear that motherhood might never happen, Alyssa is now experiencing a completely different season of life, becoming a new mom. And sometimes that is the beauty of healing, realizing the story did not end where we thought it would. This final segment is about hope, resilience, motherhood, emotional healing, and what becomes possible when women begin reconnecting with themselves emotionally and physically. Alyssa, what has it been like becoming a mama after everything you went through?
It has been such a wild and beautiful experience. So my baby girl is just 7 weeks old now. She's still brand new. So it's been, you know, just this short time of getting to know her and transitioning into this new journey of motherhood. But gosh, it's, you know, motherhood, of course, is not an easy journey. Like being the mom of a newborn is a challenge, as far as just anyone who's a mom knows, right? Just the, you know, sleep and just 24/7 having to, you know, take care of her every need. But at the same time, so much, because I've had such a journey to get to where I am today. I'll look at her sleeping or while she's in my arms and just be in awe of, you know, how crazy is it that I'm here holding my daughter in my arms right now? Like I made a person, and it just feels so, so surreal and so beautiful. I feel so honored and blessed to be able to say now that I'm a mom and have that experience and be able to, you know, really truly understand what other moms are talking about when they talk about the challenges and beauty of motherhood. And it's just been one of the most incredible experiences of my life.
Yeah, I remember when I had my son, I just always kept looking at him, just being like, holy cow, I created that. Holy cow. I'm like, and just being in awe. I mean, yeah. It's just the most amazing experience. And if, you know, people out there who haven't had that chance, I am so looking forward to them being able to eventually have that experience. Sometimes you have to hold on to that thought, like live through sometimes the life of what we're experiencing so that they can have that. So has motherhood changed the way you view healing the body or emotional wellness?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think more than anything, it gives me a different perspective because I'm a mom now. I have a daughter of my own, and I want to be the best example for her. I think it's like anything, we have to lead by example more than anything. And I want her to grow up understanding how important it is to take care of yourself and that your own, you know, health and healing is really the most important thing. And I think the best way for her to grow up understanding that is for me to model that for her. And so even though being a mom requires a lot of attention towards baby, and of course I'm doing that all the time, but at the same time I have to make sure that I'm still caring for myself and, you know, having time for myself, getting myself, you know, rest and sleep when I can, and giving myself nutritious meals and all the things that I need to really thrive in this life. Like, all of that still matters now, if not more, because I have this baby girl, you know, rather than kind of that motherhood martyrdom of just, well, I'm a mom now, so all the attention goes to baby and who cares about me. I think that's really important, just to give her that example.
I think that's huge, because so many people, once you have a baby, a lot of times we stop living our life for ourselves and we start living it for our children. And I love the fact that you're like, no, I have to also live it for me, because I want my child to be able to grow up and do the same thing, because we're one unique human being and we also have the right to live. And when they see that you're living an empowered life, they're more likely to live that empowered life too. So yeah. I love that you're standing up for that and showing your daughter so much. And I've been watching a lot of your Instagram stuff, and you have so many good little tips out there for women who need to get pregnant, but also just what it's like to be a mama. So what would you say to the woman who feels like giving up hope right now?
I would say just keep going, right? It's so easy to want to give up hope, but just, you never know what's right around the corner. Because I would say especially the last few months before I actually ended up conceiving, I was kind of getting into a place of, I wouldn't say giving up hope, but I was getting to a place of just, you know what, I'm going to just be happy whether I end up having kids or not. But there was always that voice in the back of my mind that just somehow innately knew that I was going to be a mom at some point in time. I didn't know how that was going to happen or when. And that's, I think, the hard part, because none of us can predict the future. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's right around the corner. You don't know if next month is going to be your positive pregnancy test. Like, you just never know what's coming. And I think leaving yourself open to the possibilities is just the most powerful gift you can give yourself.
I love that you said that, because when you said, I'm open to the possibilities, and you don't exactly know how that looks like, but you were open to however the universe or God was going to bring that into your life. And I love that you kind of put that out there and you allowed your body to shift and think about it that way. And there was something else you said, and my mind is kind of missing that piece, but that was along that same lines. It's like how you were going to enjoy the journey and how you were just going to decide that it was just, you knew you were going to be a mom. You didn't know how, and you let go of the how. You stopped trying to make it be your way. And you said, right now, I know deep in my heart, I will be a mom. And I think even for anybody else, I mean, kind of talk to us about that, because that is that knowing, that feeling that you just know that's going to happen. And sometimes people need to grab onto that. And that might be their hope, that maybe they need to hear that. So go tell us a little bit more, like, what was that like to, and what were you saying? Did you have like a little mantra around that too? Or what was that feeling like?
Yeah, I think more than anything, it's a feeling of surrender, right? Because that's the part that kind of keeps us stuck, is that we're trying to control what's happening, right? You know, you want to be in control of when you conceive. You want to be in control of the whole process. You want to know exactly who, what, when, where, how everything's going to happen. And the truth is that so much of this is just outside of our control. And certainly the timing piece of it, you know, I thought I was going to be a mom almost 10 years ago and was ready for it and was excited about it. And I have used zero form of birth control since 2016 now. And here we are in 2026. I'm just now holding my little baby girl. So, you know, and silly me, I thought, yeah, gosh, I had this all planned out. Like, I wanted to start having my kids in my 20s. I wanted to be done having kids by the time I was 30, so that by the time they're grown, I'm, you know, this age. I had this kind of all planned out. And here I am, almost 37 now, just having my first kid. And, you know, yeah, I think a lot of that was just like, you know what? I'm just going to release this control over how this all happens and just know that it's coming and that the journey is going to be beautiful and perfect exactly how it is. And I feel like I have exactly the beautiful baby girl that I was meant to have all this time. The timing just ended up being absolutely perfect. And it just all happened exactly as it needed to be. And so I think what I would encourage most is just let yourself surrender to whatever, however it all happens.
Yeah, that totally reminded me of a saying that they say, well, you know, like a child goes to God and he hands him his broken toy and he's like, God, I want you to fix this now. And then God isn't like fixing it right now. And the child's like, can you fix my toy? And God's like, well, you got to learn to let go of it, you know, so that I can fix it. So it's about letting go and just knowing that in God's time, in, you know, or in the universe's time, or, you know, whatever you want to believe in, that it's going to get fixed. And that, you know, sometimes you just have to realize that even though you're pushing for what you want, that sometimes the story gets rewritten in a different way so that you have your own unique story for you. I mean, this is just an amazing story of what you and your daughter are sharing together and your husband. I can't imagine. I mean, this is like you got your family now. It's a family of three now. So what does aligned living mean to you now?
Aligned living, I think for me, means kind of what I was saying before, just continuing to have an awareness of all of the pieces that make us a whole human, you know, helping myself to be in alignment physically by, you know, feeding and nourishing myself well, and, you know, caring for myself and my family mentally and emotionally, which can look like making sure that we get outside and move our bodies and finding ways to really bring joy and having beautiful experiences and, you know, all the things that are so powerful, you know, getting outside in nature, just enjoying the world around us and just helping ourselves to come into alignment in all the ways.
Oh, I love that. Alyssa, for viewers who want to continue learning from you and to connect with Align to Rise, where can they find you online?
Yeah, so best places to find me would be my website, which is www.alignedtorise.com. You can hop over there and check out my podcast, which is the Aligned to Rise podcast. You can download my free period pain playbook if you are struggling with period pain yourself. And you can also find me on Instagram, which is at aligned.to.rise. And I would be more than happy to connect with you, chat with you, all the things.
Alyssa, thank you for joining me on Be the Breakthrough Edge and for sharing such a vulnerable and inspiring story. What today's conversation reminds us is that healing is deeply connected emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And while every fertility journey is different, there is incredible power in creating safety within the body, releasing what we carry emotionally, and believing that breakthrough is still possible. And to everyone watching, I want you to remember this: your story is not over. Sometimes healing begins the moment we stop fighting ourselves and start reconnecting with hope. I'm Dr. Raquel Yarrow, and this is Be the Breakthrough Edge. Don't wait for the breakthrough. Become the breakthrough.